Hello again, and welcome to our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. It's the podcast that complements our two quarterly lifestyle magazines, Hello Sunshine Magazine and In Noosa Magazine. Both of those titles, the winter issues, are out now. On with today's episode. Coffee, we love coffee. Coffee has a rich history, a complex chemistry, a variety of effects on the human body and mind. For many, it's more than just a drink. It's a ritual, a social lubricant, a source of energy and a pleasure. I recently sat down with two locals responsible for the smoothest double espresso I've ever had the pleasure to taste. Everyone has a story, and today I'd like you to meet Ben and Kate Saltry from Bunker Specialty Coffee Co.
The main part of our business is our distribution business. So Bunker Specialty Coffee Co. And then we've got this Bunker Espresso. So Veneziano is the roasting company. So they're in Brisbane and Melbourne.
All right. Yeah. What are your backgrounds? I'll start with you, Ben. I know that you're an ex-chef.
That's correct, yep. Yep, dropped out of school to become a chef. Did my trade to get away from the coast and ended up back on the coast. So, yeah, hospitality's always been something I've been drawn to, and being out of the kitchen and into coffee has just been a natural progression for me. So I still get the intensity of doing a service, but get to work behind the scenes and help people get better at what they do. So
yeah. What about you, Kat? I thought in one of the early conversations we had, you did do some time in Victoria.
No, I haven't done any in Victoria. No, you're confusing me because I'm a Kiwi.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about that. You came from across the ditch.
Across the ditch.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Okay.
So been here for a while. But my background is, probably a bit all over the place. So I have a business degree at uni and marketing and advertising, and then worked in food wholesale for 9 years. And that's actually where I met Ben. And then we decided to go out together into business.
So in the hospitality restauranting game first?
Food distribution, food, yeah. We kind of know how to do the behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. That's our specialty, yeah. Not too much out in the front. So yes, and then we jumped into coffee, and we've had this business for about 7.5 years now.
And what was your relationship with coffee? I mean, how did that evolve with you? Because coffee, Kate knows this, we've spent a few conversations. I love coffee, but for me though, it seems, it's an eternal journey, like a never-ending journey to try and get the perfect cup. And, you know, just in the couple of short conversations with Kate, the complexity of trying to achieve that, it seems like it's something that you can enjoy, I suppose is a nice word, for the rest of your life. But what are your relationships with coffee?
So we came into coffee very green, obviously. We understood distribution and how business works. But coming into coffee, I think, we're very green, just with the wealth of knowledge that's out there as far as the coffee industry goes. So the coffee industry is always evolving, and we've had to learn with the coffee industry. So loved coffee, loved drinking coffee, but as discussed, there is so much behind just a cup of coffee. So learning all that has been, amazing for us.
Break down the brands for me. So Bunker is your brand.
Yeah, so Bunker's our brand, and Veneziano is our roasting partner. So we are the distributors from essentially Bribie Island all the way up to Agnes Waters. So we are the sole distributor for Veneziano. So we kind of have the best of both worlds. We've got a big talent pool in Melbourne that we can draw on, but we're also independent. So we can choose the customers we want to work with, set our pricing, choose machinery and that kind of stuff. So we're sort of straddle both worlds. I guess our customers on the coast get Melbourne coffee, but a local delivery person, if you want to call it that. So, and I think we might be one of the only people on the coast that do that. So there's some big national brands in coffee, but I think most of them probably get freighted up to the Sunshine Coast. So you have to put up with our faces.
Tell me about, and this has been, it blew my mind. I've been a coffee drinker for a long time. I don't have a big machine at home. I'm a stovetop coffee man all my life. But when I sat down with Kate at a recent lunch, and it was because of the brands that I kind of saw on the hoardings and the cafes and restaurants in Melbourne, I thought there were only two main coffee brands around, and that's what I've been purchasing all my life.
Yep.
And then in an instant, Kate said, oh, well, they're commercial grade, and then there's specialty coffee.
Yep.
And that was a bit of a light globe moment for me. Can you explain the difference between the two in terms of what goes into a commercial kind of grade coffee and what you guys do at Bunker and the kind of coffee that you distribute?
Basically, it all starts at the farm. And it's the grade of coffee. So coffees get graded. So any coffee that you see on the shelf has been graded, and there's certain standards. And our coffee always ticks a certain standard. So it's the cupping score, and our coffee always scores high, and that comes down to how it's grown, how it's roasted, how it's taken care of. So the cupping score is the number one thing to have specialty coffee. So
how do you measure cupping score? What's that?
So these guys are just the coffee gurus. So they are the bee's knees of coffee tasters, and they taste all coffees, and they assign a score, both flavor profiles and how they taste the coffee, to give it the cupping score. So it's an independent group of people that taste all the coffees to come up with that score. So it's not us deciding that our coffee is specialty. It's been independently graded and decided.
And
that
who's they when you talk about independently
graded? Q graders. A Q grader.
Are they like an Australian? How does that work?
Oh, I believe, no, I think it's an international, yes. Right. So I think it's an actual formal qualification. I believe it takes about 3 years to become one. I think one of the, I guess, parameters would be you've got a pretty good palate, would be my understanding. Ben could probably be one. I definitely couldn't be. I sort of lean on Ben a bit to when we're tasting new coffees and what you can taste in them. Ben will pick up flavours first, and then, you know, sometimes I just, you know, I can't tell that there's pineapple.
And what you were saying earlier, it's anything below 80, a cupping score of below 80 is considered a commercial grade coffee.
Yep.
And anything above that is specialty coffee.
Mm. Correct. So yeah, people use terming like artisan roasted or freshly roasted to kind of give their coffee something that it's not. So specialty coffee is where coffee's heading, and it's where the industry standard now is, according to us. So yeah, specialty coffee is the coffee that it should be out there in the standard.
Are consumers aware of this kind of specialty coffee? And do you like that word, artisan coffee, or was it you that?
No, I'm not a fan of artisan.
No, I didn't want to say the wrong thing, but I'm sure that's a bit of a wanky term last time we
it
spoke.
It might be a wanky term, yeah. I think probably, so in a nutshell, I think coffee in Australia, and I'm not too sure about around the world, but we're in what's called the third wave coffee. So
what's that mean?
That means, so there was, I suppose, you know, the coffee that people might have been drinking in, you know, the 50s, in Melbourne with, you know, immigrants bringing, you know, some stuff over from Italy. Then there was second wave coffee, which is the coffee brands that you might have thought of at lunch the other day. I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that.
No, we won't say that.
But
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. So that's that kind of, you know, say 15, 10 years ago, where the coffee culture in Australia started to, you know, blossom.
Develop.
So yeah. There was, and they really did forge the way for, you know, people going out for coffee for a social occasion kind of thing. Yeah. And then I guess in the last, probably for Veneziano, we've been on the scene for 20 years, so we were right at the front of what's called the third wave of coffee. So maybe some people might call it, you know, hipster coffee or the cool stuff, or, you know, people that wear man buns, that kind of, if you want to put it that way. So that's that.
Don't turn me off, Kate. If you keep talking like that, I won't be
I know,
off,
I keep trying to grow a beard and it's just not happening, so
yeah.
Much to Ben's happiness, I guess.
There's a lot of, again, just with initial conversations with Kate, the complexity or the process and mixing multiple beans. Where do you even start with that? Or where does the roaster start? And tell me about your roaster.
So Veneziano, we leave the roasting to them. They obviously have been a staple of the coffee industry for 20 years, and being they are so good at what they do, we leave that to them. But they start, like we spoke about, they start at the farm. So relationships with the farmers to make sure the coffee's grown to a certain standard. And then as far as making a blend, yeah, it's a bit of a dark art, so it takes a lot of coffee tasting, a lot of trial and error, and yeah, that's basically, yeah, where we landed.
But when I talk about variables, again, it's about temperature, it's about time, it's about the right blend.
The blend,
Bean goes
with which.
I mean,
yeah,
that sounds,
yeah.
Where does it end?
I know, well, it probably doesn't, and I think that's why coffee keeps developing, because it's just making, you know, different types of blends, and, you know, the industry keeps moving. So, but it is, like Ben said, it's a dark art. It is where would you start? Where would you pick? What beans make up a good mix with other ones, and then actually make a really nice blend. And then again, like I mentioned before, how do you roast that particular bean, and then how does that particular bean get mixed with the other one that you've been working on for however long. So so it's a science and an art at the same time. So as Ben said, we definitely leave that to our friends at Veneziano.
where do you think Australia is? I've got an opinion. I haven't travelled extensively, but I've been to most corners of the world. Where do you think we sit in terms of the kind of coffee we produce here in Australia?
Oh, we're absolutely at the top.
Yeah.
We're very much leading. We are. Melbourne Specialty Coffee has a huge reputation around the world. There's lots of pockets that are popping up. I know New Zealand definitely is, you know, quite closely tracking along with us. There's areas in America, I think Portland and Seattle, they've got big, specialty coffee, you know, areas and focuses, and then a lot of other new developing countries are coming along too.
Yeah.
So it is very much everyone's eyes are on Australia.
And why is that? I mean, I've had coffee in France, I've had coffee in Italy, as good as it is, UK, US. Why are we or Australian,
that's a great question.
I mean, what's pushing us to produce the kind of great coffee that we are producing now? Because we're very lucky.
I think that comes down to our culture and how we live our lives. We're early, especially on the Sunshine Coast, we're early risers, we're hitting cafes earlier and earlier. So I think the demand and, you know, we go out to a restaurant and a certain standard has been set in restaurants now. And I think that has helped coffee be dragged up as well. So people demand a good coffee. And I think it just suits the Australian culture of early risers and how we go about living our lives. Coffee just fits into that so well. So I think that's just a natural progression for how we live our lives. Yeah.
Can you tell me, is there any challenging aspect of the work that you do when it comes to your brand and getting it out to cafes and restaurants? What's one of the challenges for you guys?
I think it's probably, coffee's a very personal part of like a cafe owner's business. And I think switching coffee supplier is a big deal. It's not swapping, you know, your different bread supplier or something that you can jump back to next week if it doesn't go well. So it is, it's a big change. You know, it comes with equipment, machinery, changing, you know, training with staff and a whole new coffee to learn with. And it's very, that can be a bit frightening. So, you know, there would be people that would like to change coffee and go to change coffee and then back out at the last minute because it can be a little bit nerve-wracking. And I think a lot of places are at the mercy of their customers. So if you changed coffee one day and you've got, you know, 300 people that come in your door and you change it and you downgrade, I guess, you've got 300 people that aren't very impressed with their coffee changing that day. So a lot of people get nervy about doing it, and I think there's, like you've mentioned, there's a lot of understanding about coffee that a lot of people don't understand. So it is it's still, I know it's not in its early years, but it can feel like it sometimes. It can feel a little bit wild, wild west, with people not knowing what terminologies mean. Like you said, people don't know what specialty coffee actually means. So, you know, someone might be using a commercial brand coffee and not want to jump to specialty because they actually don't know what it means. So I guess it's the education part in the industry. I think the industry will be pretty different in 5 years' time. I think there'll be a better understanding. And it won't be so scary.
And is that a big part of your business model now? It's about getting your brand and Bunker Coffee into cafes and restaurants on the coast and also as the outlet here, the cafe that you've got here. Is that what your primary focus is?
Yeah, definitely. So I think our main part of our business is we don't want to be everywhere. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want six of us on one street kind of thing. So we do like having only one customer in a suburb or, you know, area. So we, you know, we don't want to jump up everywhere. And we want to have great accounts with great business people and not be a flash in the pan. So we diligently choose who we like to partner with, and you know, we like working with people that are, you know, great business people as well and fun, and you know, enjoy what they do. So it can be slow moving process.
And is that challenging, Ben? Because again, was a conversation I had with Kate a little while ago, and I know you've just come back from a place this morning whose barista was crook. Or anyway, when it's your brand on that A-frame out the front or whatever, or inside the shop. See, again, people will associate that brand with the way that the barista made the coffee that morning. So is that a nervous point for you, that you know, that the quality and the taste of that coffee depends on the barista that's working that day. That must be challenging.
It is. That's what it comes back to. Like Kate said, we choose our clientele very carefully, and people that love and respect coffee are the people that we want to work with. And the number one thing for me is training with baristas. So there's a set of rules, standards that we follow, and that isn't the favorite part of my job, is teaching someone how to make a good cup of coffee. So you walk into a cafe and you see Bruce, and then you walk in and you see Tanya, that coffee's made the same way every single time. So people don't have their favorite barista. They have their favorite coffee shop because they know it's going to taste good and be the same every single time.
But that must be hard.
It is, but I love
having, the same barista.
Correct. It is. Yeah, but I love training people. That's the biggest part for me in our business, is building those relationships with the baristas and training and just making coffee a bit more fun so people aren't scared to change or try something different to produce a better product at the end of the day.
Yeah. Is there anything I haven't asked you about your brand that you think is really important that people should know about what you do, about the kind of coffee that you're distributing, about the suppliers, the Veneziano? Is there anything that you think is important?
I briefly touched on it before. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think we are the only distribution place on the Sunshine Coast that has a Melbourne coffee, but the owners, you know, do the deliveries. So there's some great Melbourne coffees that are making their way up to the Sunshine Coast. However, it comes up on a freight truck, which is, you know, it might change down the line. But we sort of bring the best of both worlds. So it is that, you know, you've got that very reliable, week in, week out, the same coffee, but, you know, you've got Ben and I's mugs in your face each week.
Yeah.
And I guess we're here, you know, coffee's pretty unpredictable, and the coffee equipment can be unpredictable. So
why do you say that coffee's unpredictable?
Oh, it could be, well, with equipment, you could have, it could have a, you know, plumbing supply problem or something like that. You know, we don't like it, but sometimes the phone does ring at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning and the grinder is not working. So we can rush out to you and fix it kind of thing. Whereas I suppose if you've got a company, a Melbourne company or a Brisbane company, you know, the owner of that brand's not going to rush up to the Sunshine Coast and get you out of a stitch on a Sunday. So
we're here. How do you have your coffee? And does it change through the day? I know there's like, I don't know if it's an Italian thing where they go, oh, you shouldn't have, hang on, I'm going to get this right. No milk in the afternoon, black in the morning. Like what's your go-to?
So my go-to was always a long black, but trying to build a better coffee industry, I wanted to understand how everybody likes their coffee. So I will drink a half-strength almond latte or a triple shot cappuccino, so I can have an overarching understanding of how everyone drinks their coffee. So I try to change it up, but gun to my head, long black all day long.
No sugar.
Straight up.
Yeah. That's what I'm on at the moment.
Mine would be just a flat white. But I do have, I think in summer I have more long blacks, just because it's a bit too hot to have, you know, a big heavy milky one. So I probably have one of each day. Would be about what I'd have. And then, mine depends on my mood and the weather.
And preferred equipment, like what do you have at home? Because again, a lot of people listening to this, yes, there's people that go to cafes and restaurants where there's a big commercial machine. But for me, I only work from home. So what do you have in the kitchen?
Absolutely nothing at home. So a big part of what we do is having those relationships with our customers. So we love going to see our customers and having a coffee there.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That just forces us to go out. If we had a machine at home, I don't think we'd leave on the weekend. So no, nothing at home. So we take ourselves out, go visit our accounts, say good day.
Yeah, good way to operate.
And, test them on their coffee skills.
Plunger,
We have a plunger. And we have one of our blends, Saw. And that's, we just have, I guess, a long black on the plunger at home. So, it's delicious. And then we go out for the milkies.
Ben and Kate Saltry from Bunker Specialty Coffee Co. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of Everyone Has a Story. If you did, share it about on your social media networks and platforms. Until next time, take care.